Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I trust that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Over 1,600 years ago, a boy by the name of Maewyn was kidnapped and sold as a slave. Today we remember him as a man who is used by God to minister to the nation of Ireland. St. Patrick was known for his courage and zeal in preaching the gospel and following God, but his past proved that God had done a great work within him. Patrick had been a slave for 6 years in Ireland, captured as a boy at the age of 16, far from his British homeland. With the leadership and help of the Lord, he escaped slavery and returned home for a time. But God placed a call upon his heart to minister to the people who had kidnapped him and held him as a slave. His story is a testimony of the power of God at work in a life, bringing healing from the past, real forgiveness, and even love for those who had caused him grief. I hope that you can stay with us today as we consider the wonderful transforming grace of God who can change a heart and mind, filling with love the place where hurt had once been.
I choose to forgive. I choose to surrender. I choose to place my trust in my Heavenly Father.
Such pain day after day, but I was reminded when I prayed that if for God I was going to live,
I must choose, yes, I must choose to forgive.
Forgiveness is a gift from God, provided for us all. When we forgive another, we're following His call. Although the pain can be so great, and we don't understand, we must choose to forgive, as did the precious Holy Lamb.
When Jesus hung upon the cross, forgive them, Lord. Our Savior did display.
He served as our example.
Even so, Lord, help me live.
If we stay pure and holy, we must choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. I choose to surrender. I choose to place my trust in my Heavenly Father.
The hurt caused such pain day after day, but I was reminded when I prayed that if for God I was going to live,
I must choose, yes, I must choose to forgive.
God gives to everyone a choice to forgive or turn away.
A life of bitterness will come to those who disobey.
But God in great compassion keeps calling out in love.
He'll forgive for unforgiveness. Oh, what mercy from above. I choose to forgive. I choose to surrender. I choose to place my trust in my Heavenly Father.
The hurt caused such pain day after day, but I was reminded when I prayed that if for God I was going to live,
I must choose. Yes, I must choose to forgive. I choose to forgive.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you're a God who understands us completely. You see our needs, you see our hurts. And Lord, this morning, we look to you for healing, for help. And Lord, for the future, for hope. You see each one that's listening to the program this morning. I pray that you would be with them in a special way. And Lord, as we gather in your house to worship with your people this morning, would you move among us? And help us, Lord, to hear a voice speaking and to respond with a yes and obedience to your will and your way, we pray. For all that you do, help us to give you thanks, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now this Tuesday, March 19th, we will begin our spring revival services with Reverend Jonathan Edwards and his wife. We would love to have you join us for these services, but if not, I ask that you pray for us, that the Lord would be with us and help us in a special way. Also on Tuesday, Lebanon God's Missionary Church will celebrate ministering in this community for 75 years. We're so thankful for what God has done, and we look forward to what God will do in the future with our church. I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to lebanongmc.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's lebanongmc.com.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness,
I sing
of, the goodness
Lord,
of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures,
with his word,
and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow, by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there. Amen. Amen.
Earlier in our program, I mentioned about St. Patrick and some of the hardships that he endured. This morning, I'd like to consider another hero of the faith, someone who suffered much for the cause of Christ. And like St. Patrick, it was a man who had a marvelous transformation that took place in his life. The man is the Apostle Paul. And we're going to look to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 for our scripture reading this morning. I'm going to break in at verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 6, Paul is writing here, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." My friend, the reality this morning is that the Christian is not immune from troubles and weakness, but the grace and strength of God can shine through the imperfect frame and bring perfect glory to God. So today we're going to talk about grace for living. And for a text, I'm looking at verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." In this verse, we see Paul tells of something that's afflicted him and may have even hindered his ministry. He writes that it has been given to him so that he would not be exalted above measure, keeping him from becoming proud of the great things he'd accomplished. Commentators have many different opinions about what this thorn in the flesh actually was. There's a wide range of ailments listed, from earaches to problems with his vision, and perhaps even epileptic seizures. In his writings, John Wesley points out that St. Paul seems to have had a fresh fear of these buffetings every moment, when he so frequently represses himself in his boasting, almost as though it is extorted from him by the utmost necessity. In Adam Clark's commentary, he writes that in this verse, the Greek word translated into thorn signifies a stake, or perhaps to be tied to a stake by way of punishment. It's used to signify the most oppressive afflictions. Whatever it was in the flesh, or of an outward kind. It was neither a sin nor sinfulness, for this could not have been given to Paul to prevent him being exalted above measure. For sin never had and never can have this tendency, right? Clark says that he believes that the apostle to be referring simply to the distresses he'd endured through the opposition he met with at Corinth, which were as painful and as grievous to him as a thorn in his flesh, or as being bound to a stake as he had suffered on the account of the Corinthian church being perverted and torn to pieces by a false teacher. We see, though, in this verse that Paul doesn't give us a detailed description of this thorn in the flesh. And I really don't think it's necessary for us this morning to focus on it, try to figure out exactly what it is, other than to say that it caused Paul trouble and was constantly a reminder of his weakness and of his need for the power of Christ. Whatever Paul's affliction may have been, we do know that although it kept him from spiritual pride, it did not keep him from spreading the gospel message. I think it's a challenge for us today to do our part in telling the world of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Also, we can see that when we share with the world around us of what we have found in Jesus Christ, we must do it with the help and leadership of the Lord. The Christian isn't witnessing to bring glory or honor to themselves, but to Christ, as the glory and power of God is proven through their weakness. Fanny Crosby was an amazing poet, writing almost 9,000 hymns that touched the lives of people around the world. But Fanny Crosby was blind, and I find it fascinating that she composed the words of a hymn entirely in her mind, and then they would be transcribed as she dictated them to her husband or a secretary. When it came to actually writing on paper, it's recorded that Crosby could write little more than her own name, and often she would simply sign with an X. It's estimated that books containing her lyrics have sold around 100 million copies. But popularity or wealth was never her goal, and she gave away any money that they earned that was not necessary to their daily survival. She was more concerned that souls be turned to Christ and saved through the influence of her hymns. God was able to use Fanny Crosby in a powerful way to speak to the hearts of countless people, allowing us to see Christ and His love through the words of her songs. Although blind, she painted beautiful pictures of the Lord that she loved. In the life of the believer, all praise and glory should go to God, for He is the one who's shown His love and grace to us. God's grace is what makes all the difference in this life. Even after a man or woman is saved from their sins, it's the grace of God that enables us to live a new life, breaking the chains of sin that once held us captive. Now, just like the Apostle Paul, not every one of your weaknesses or problems will disappear when you're saved. But my friend, this morning, God knows exactly what to allow you to carry, not to defeat you, but to make you stronger spiritually as you look to Him for help. Remember that for Paul, the thorn in the flesh was, as he termed it, the messenger of Satan. Whatever the thorn was, he had perceived it to be a hindrance to him and his ministry, and he'd prayed 3 times in earnest to have it removed. God answered with almost a strange answer, something that Paul probably didn't expect. God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, this morning, Paul was not recommending that the Christians in Corinth stop praying for deliverance from infirmities or problems, but rather that if God chose to allow them to bear it, that He would surely use it to their benefit and would give to them plenty of grace and plenty of strength to meet their needs. I know we'd rather avoid any problems or troubles in this life, but we can be sure that problems and troubles will come, and when they come, that God has not forgotten or abandoned us, but rather is doing a far greater work than we ever could imagine. So, my friend, this morning, does God have all of you have the problems, weaknesses, doubts, fears, afflictions, and temptations that we have in this world all been consecrated to Him? He knows every detail about who you are, and despite any feelings you have of inadequacy or even worthlessness, you are loved, and you were loved long before you were ever born by Him. God wants you to trust Him, even with the problems of this life, and allow Him to use even your weakness to bring Him glory and to bring Him praise. He wants you to be a witness to the overcoming power of God that makes us more than conquerors through the grace and power that we have through Christ.
Oh, Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when
Thank you for joining me for today's program. I trust that throughout this coming week, that you'll remember that His strength is perfect, and He has grace and help for every situation that you face. No matter what it may be, look to Jesus, and you can find help for your need. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week. Thank you.
broken, that you may be filled. For the sisters you've hewn out are broken, and the waters they cannot contain. Won't you bring
was broken.